This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Mr. Durham, what's happening?
I'm great, Pack. Another thrilling night of lacrosse in the ACC. As we talked about this, we said that Duke and Notre Dame could be just as exciting as the others, and the Irish and the Blue Devils delivered again. We get another sudden victory game in Durham last night, and Duke wins at the Horn. Ladies' game was also really exciting. BC clips Notre Dame last night. Syracuse, I guess. So we've got a handful of things to talk about and a great guest list here today as well.
Well, let's get right to it because he's waiting on us. I mean, we're not messing around this morning. Let's go up to BC. It's time for some spring football. There he is, the coach, Jeff Hafley. Coach, bright and early. You've probably been up since 3 a.m. working on game plans for kickoff tomorrow. Tell you what a difference a year makes, right? It's kind of crazy how we've made this transition, but hope life is good. Hope everybody's safe and healthy.
Everybody's good. I appreciate you guys having me on. I was fired up when J-Bomb said I got the invite to see you two. And I'm grateful that I get this opportunity again. It feels like forever since we've talked.
I know. You know, the thing, though, is that I know you get up early. You know, the show starts at 7. I know you wanted us up at 5 a.m. to get this interview knocked out because you're ready for lunch. but, man, you know, you look at your roster offensively, everybody and their brother back, it seems like. So I'm going to let Wes concentrate on the offense. I want to know what's this defense going to look like.
Well, one, I think schematically, we've had spring ball, which has been unbelievable. I mean, we really didn't have any spring practice last year, so we kind of got right in the training camp. And I think schematically, you'll see we've been able to really implement what we wanted to last year. We were pretty vanilla last year. And, you know, with our D-line returning and all the DBs coming back, you know, we have some guys with experience now and know what we're looking for, know what our standard is, how we're going to run, how we're going to play with fundamentals and technique. You know, obviously we lost two good linebackers, so there's some serious competition there. We brought in a couple transfers. We brought in some incoming freshmen that are already here. So I'm just really looking forward to the competitiveness to continue in training camp and see who wins some of these spots. But it's been exciting.
So the Jay McGillis Memorial game tomorrow, Coach, and Phil Jurkovec will be the guy that everybody wants to have a look at. What have you seen, and how's he gotten better from what was just a court storming, if you will, last fall when he came into this league?
Yeah, well, if you think about last year what he did, he hadn't really started a game since his senior year in high school. Gets thrown a new scheme at him. You know, like I said, no spring. And he had a heck of a season. I mean, you see his stats that you guys are putting up there right now. Just his command and his presence and his understanding of what we're trying to do. I mean, there are some times I look back and just smile at some of the throws he makes. And I'm a DB guy, so half the time I get mad, but then I have to realize that I'm the head coach too, so I'm actually really pumped. But just proud of the way his leadership and his command of the huddle and the offense. I think you're going to see him take a really big step next year.
You know, you mentioned the transfer portal and having some guys come in. It's been a hot-button topic across the board. How have you been able to use that to your advantage, especially given year two and so forth and plugging in some spots where maybe from a recruiting perspective, it's not there yet where you want it to be, but you've got the ability to say, guess what? You can come to BC, play right now, help us immediately get a great education, off to the races we go.
Well, I've said this before, I don't want to live in the portal. I want to recruit and I want to develop. You know, but when a guy enters the portal, you know, we do our homework. We'll watch the tape and then more importantly, we check out the character. And we've been fortunate. We've had some guys, other coaches on our staff have actually recruited in the past and have known them. Like a guy like Jaden Woodby, who's come in and done an awesome job. Then we have the two transfers from Temple who, you know, Pat Kraft, our AD, was there, and he gave me the double thumbs up on both. You got to be careful. I look at it like free agency in the NFL. You got to bring people in that fit your culture and guys that are going to, you know, do all the little things that we ask to do. And that's what's happened here. So if we get fortunate enough to get guys like that, we'll take a look. And we have, and there's some spots we need to compete and help with. So we brought guys in at those positions, kind of like Phil last year. So I'm excited about them, but I still want to recruit and develop. That's really important to me.
Hey, by the way, when the boss says, hey, I got two kids from Temple, you got to pay attention, don't you? I mean, that can't be just a blow off, right? I mean, when the boss guy says, hey, coach, I got two dudes I know at Temple that could really help us. You got to pay attention.
Yeah, you got to pay attention. You know, plus, again, Pat Kraft's a football guy, so he knows what he's looking at. And trust him. Happy he's here. Have a great relationship with him.
Yeah.
And I'm just really looking forward to our future together, truthfully.
Coach, here's the other thing, too. And you mentioned this, and it would seem to me that a mid-year guy now compared to a mid-year guy a season ago is a world of difference. How impactful, how important do you expect some of those guys that got there in January to figure into what you're going to do this fall?
Well, I think you're going to see there's probably a handful of guys that will figure in and, you know, maybe not start, but have a role and help us win games next year. But it's huge. I mean, just to get acclimated to school here, you know, schools can be pretty challenging. So to start that without the football season right on top of you, to get in the weight room with our strength staff, and then to actually go through 15 practices and learn the offense and defense or special teams, it's huge. And we had 11 of
right.
them. And they've been awesome. I mean, they've just been consumed by the culture. They're great kids. They're doing well in school. I think some of them you'll see flash a little bit in the spring game. And I'm just grateful they're here.
One of the things that, and I said this on radio in the afternoon too, that you guys, in my opinion, were really the poster child for how you go about your business during this pandemic. I mean, what your football program did to keep everybody relatively safe, healthy, so you could practice, so you could play. I mean, wins and losses, I know at the end of the day, is what we add up. But the way you went about your business, Coach, I can't brag about you and your staff enough. The medical personnel, your approach, the dedication of your players to say, hey, listen, we're going to do this the right way. I assume that everything's just still cruising despite this crazy pandemic. But you guys should get a ton of credit for the way you handled it because it was brilliant what you did.
Well, we appreciate that. And I know it's been talked about a lot, but you just got to give credit to the players. I mean, they're the ones who sacrificed, like we talked about. They're the ones who gave so much up, and they're still doing it. And people think this has just gone away. But, you know, I was hoping that we'd get to spring ball and I'd see what it would be like to coach without a mask on or not be tested every day or actually be able to meet in my team room. I still haven't met in the team room yet. I still, you know, I still have to stand back 20 yards when I talk to the team. But you just you do what you can do, and you do the best you can every day, and you have to give these players credit. You know, it has nothing to do with me. It's all about them, and I just tell them after every practice, I appreciate all that you guys have done. I love being here, and I love coaching you guys.
Oh, the other part about this coaching, looking back at kind of a year ago and how it morphs into the spring, the continuity of your staff and what you guys were able to do, how big a factor do you think that will be, not just in finishing this up, but once you get back into August where maybe, you know, knock on wood, we got a little more normalcy, off-season programs, summer stuff. I mean, the continuity of the guys your players see has to be important, right?
It's everything. And you make such a big point bringing that up. And I'm grateful that the school and Pat Kraft has allowed me to keep guys. we've had – you know, we had our DB coach, you know, he had the chance to go be a Power 5 defensive coordinator, and he chose to stay here. Our offensive line coach had to go to a really good NFL team, and he chose to stay here. And that means everything to me. I get too much credit for any little things that we did last year. It's the staff, and I could not do anything without them, and I'm grateful for those guys.
The game tomorrow, and you just talked about you still have to go through the protocols and procedures to make sure everybody's safe. But how cool is it to actually have warm bodies in the stands tomorrow? Because after what you went through playing in empty stadiums last year, to have family and friends, that's going to be probably a walk through the tunnel and go, oh, it's great to see some smiling faces again.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I'm going to react. I might not be able to sleep tonight. You know, I'm used to running out of the tunnel, the smoke clears, and I see cardboard to the left, cardboard to the right, and then I realize nobody's here. Tomorrow I might run out of the tunnel and be like, wow, it's loud in here, and there's, you know, it's just parents and families. But, you know, truthfully, I'm grateful that they're going to let our players' families in. People have asked me, what do I want to accomplish in the spring game tomorrow? I just want our players to have fun. Their families are there. It's the first time our families are seeing their kids play in over a year. This game tomorrow is about them and their families. It's not about me. It's not about the staff. It's not about winning and losing. Let's go have fun, play football, and then go be with your families after the game and enjoy it because we miss that this year, and I miss that this year. And, I mean, even my mom and sister are going to be there, and they haven't been able to come. And I'm just excited to have them in the stands and then for me to go see them after the game. And I want our players to feel the same way. Now, I hope Phil throws for like 900 yards and it looks great, but let's just go have fun.
Hey, wait a minute now. You just told us 5 minutes ago as a DB coach, you don't want to see that second and get torched like that, because I know inside you'd be like, hey, boys, let me tell you something. If your cover makes another completion over the middle, we're running some steps. I know you better than that. You don't want 900 yards passing.
Here's the deal. I'm not the DB coach anymore. So I told Coach Azar this morning in the locker room, I said, hey, man, I've been in your shoes. I'm rooting for you tomorrow, but sorry, man. I might pull some tricks to make sure the ball goes over your head a little bit.
You know. Here's the deal. I really don't have a feel at all of whether Packer and Durham is being shown in the football office, but you just said you hoped Djurkovic threw for 900 yards. Cignetti stood up and stuck both arms in the air. LeCabo just went, wait a second.
Yeah, what?
900? No, Jeff. We're not doing 900. Come on, right? I mean, you're causing angst among your staff before you ever get to your staff meeting, right?
Yeah, I'm hoping they're not watching it, but I still hope we light it up tomorrow throwing the ball. You know we all want to see that.
You know, we put a graphic up while you were talking a while ago that your first ACC game's at Clemson. Do you guys ever get a chance to play the Tigers in Boston? It seems like you've played at Clemson for the last decade. Yeah. I know you just got there, but, I mean, goodness gracious. I mean, you're allowed to play the Tigers somewhere other than Death Valley. I just want to make sure that's an ACC rule.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly how it works anymore. So whoever they put on the schedule, wherever we play them, I'm just hoping we can get there and not have any issues. But, hey, we get a chance to go play Clemson at Clemson. I even think it's their homecoming this year, so they're really going to ramp it up.
Oh,
so
boy.
We'll be excited. We went down there last year and, you know,
scared
we gave it all that we had and we came up a little bit short. So hopefully we can find a way to play better than we did last year and see what we can do.
Well, you did a great job last year. We're looking forward to watching your boys this year for sure.
I got to tell you, Coach, it must be just like take a deep breath and smile because of how different this is from a year ago when at this point, I mean, we talked to you, I think, right around recruiting in January. There was a great optimism. And by the time we got to this point, we didn't know heads from tails. And you've got to feel, I mean, as good a job as things happened last year, you guys have got to be just ecstatic about the opportunities now that present for this program.
Yeah, we're excited. We didn't have an off season last year, and I'm still learning, right? Because this is truly my first off season in the office as a head football coach. And it's just fun to be around the guys, be around the staff, being able to recruit from the office and not from home, being able to have a staff meeting where I'm looking at the guys, and I actually know the staff this year. But more importantly, just being around the players every day, at practice, in the weight room, having them up in the office. It's so different and just so grateful and excited.
Well, I tell you what, the one thing I gathered from this interview is, number one, you're doing great and so is your team. But you mentioned Pat Kraft a couple times. We've had him on once, and we hope Pat's feeling well and doing this thing. But say it all the time, you better make sure president, chancellor, AD, coach are all rowing the boat in the same direction. And, this interview, if it did anything for ACC fans or BC fans, you can tell in these 15 minutes that we've had with you that there is a directive to make football important, and you're all heading in the right direction. And to me, that's half the battle in this day and age. You surround yourself with really good people and tell them, go get after it. And you've already impressed us in year one. And as I said, can't wait to see what you got coming up in year two. And always love having you on the program.
I appreciate it, guys. And you're right. You win with people, and it's Father Leahy, Pat Kraft, our staff, and our players. Mm. And I'm just grateful to have all of them. And they've given us the opportunity to compete. I'm fired up to be the head coach here, and I hope I'm able to do that for a long time, and I hope you guys keep having me back on.
You got it. Always. Hey, just pull up a chair,
let
coach.
Me tell you,
pull up a chair.
Hey, Halfley, I'm going to tell you one thing. It's 38 degrees. It's late April at Chestnut Hill, and you're wearing short sleeves, so I think we're going to have you on for mental toughness, if nothing else, okay?
How do you even know I have short sleeves on here? Oh, there you go.
You know why? We know why you've been working, because your skin's the same color as your shirt. You look like you're wearing long sleeves. So I know you haven't even gotten out in the sun yet.
I'll take that as a compliment.
It is.
It is. You're good. Hey, we're all good, man. We're all good. Hey, be well. We're looking forward to the Jay McGillis Memorial Game tomorrow right here on ACC Network. Thanks, as always, for the time. Stay well, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a great weekend. I appreciate it.
You got it.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Friday. Many thanks to Jeff Hafley. He guy's been up since 3 a.m. getting ready for spring football tomorrow. And it'd be cool to have people in the building, too. I think they could be sneaky good, Wes. I think BC could be sneaky good.
Five of the first eight, Pack. Five of the first eight on the road for Boston College.
That's all right. Their offense is going to be good. I got a couple quarterbacks you can win with. But we'll get to that. We got plenty of time to break down football. Lacrosse. This league is ridiculous. So good both the men's and the women's side. And it was showcased yesterday, right? And it started with the ladies, then the men last night. And we keep telling you Thursday nights on ACC Network, when it comes to lacrosse, if you're not watching, you're missing out because the entertainment value is unbelievable. And, Wes, this was a game that Notre Dame was in absolute cruise control. They were dominant. They were in control. If you were watching it through midway through the fourth quarter, really all the way through the third, into the fourth, you're like, well, they finally had a game that really wasn't going to be very close. And then out of nowhere, here comes Duke. And what a miraculous comeback that game. I mean, that was just stupid good is what that was last night. Watch Duke come back and win again on a Thursday in overtime.
Can we see the sour goals to get us to overtime?
By the way, Nakai
Montgomery, three goals last night, I believe, was the final tally after his show appearance.
Yep.
So there you go. Appreciate that. Look at that thing.
Good grief.
Jeez. What are we doing?
And this was down the stretch.
I mean, they got it in this.
This was like inside 2-3 minutes where Duke's down 2 or 3, and you're like, all right, guys, you got to score if you can make this thing fun. And they did. And Notre Dame's defense is out of sight. I mean, they're giving up 7.4 goals a game, and they're up 5 or 6 down the stretch in the fourth, and they just could not finish it off. Duke was unbelievable.
Yeah. So congratulations to Coach Danowski and the Blue Devils. Another sensational addition of Thursday night lacrosse here on ACC, but it actually started in the afternoon because Boston College and Syracuse on the ladies' side delivered a thriller as well. And, Pack, you know what? Here we go. Scoring everywhere. Jen Medjid, who will join us later in the show, game winner with 64 seconds left to go. Everybody goes home happy from the BC side. Disappointing, I'm sure, for Syracuse because the Eagles have really had quite the campaign here in the spring.
A couple things here. I think one of our questions on True and False involved Megan Carney and Charlotte North with the hat tricks. Well, guess what? That would be true because Charlotte scored 5 times and Megan scored a hat trick, but she turned her ankle in the second half. Oh, hopefully, she'll be okay. They're going to play again tomorrow. But BC, I mean, again, we can't emphasize this enough, and we're not lacrosse guys. And I keep telling you, I gotten hooked on this sport just because we interview so many student athletes and coaches here, and we have so much coverage of it. And you watch it, you go, God, this is a great sport. I mean, it is up and down and physical and fast and has a combination of everything. But the teams are so good and so talented, and almost every matchup involves a top 5 ranked team. It's goofy. But this was just great. I mean, if you're a lacrosse nut, I mean, you're just locked and loaded on the network because every game is great. Every game is great.
Yeah, it was another great game from that standpoint. And when you just playing out, I mean, postseason is going to be really, really interesting for the ACC on both sides, both men's and women's lacrosse. And as we said earlier, Jen Medjid will join us later in the show, coming up at about 8:30 this morning. One final note, non-lacrosse related here. Softball, Duke 4, Carolina 3, the final. Two-run single by the Blue Devils ends up being the winner in a walk-off. Jameson Cavill, I believe, the walk-off single in the bottom of the seventh. There's another one-run event in the ACC. Here you go.
It's like my Giants, man. Hit it where it ain't.
Highlights.
That's it. Scoring runs, winning games. Just like my beloved Giants.
Yep.
That's what we're doing right there. Hey, listen, it's Duke, North Carolina.
Duke 31-10, 19-10 in the ACC. Rachel Crabtree also had two hits and two RBIs to go along with Jameson Cavill. So congratulations to Duke on the win there. And we got a full weekend of ACC stuff we'll tell you about coming up later in the show at the tail end in the world-famous Bojangles weekend menu here on ACC Network and the Friday edition of Packer and Durham. Man, we are, I mean, Halfley right out of the gate gets the blood flowing, doesn't he? Right? Ready to go. Got some mid-year guys in there going to help us. Jakovic's going to throw for nine bills tomorrow with Chris Cotter and Mark Herzlich on the call.
I liked what he said about the transfer portal, though, because he's right. And that is, you know what?
Can't live in it.
We're not going to live in it. We're here to develop, recruit, and develop players. And I think that is spot on. And I know there's going to be a lot of folks who do the exact opposite. You know, you can't recruit, so, hey, let's just go raid the transfer portal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, hey, at the end of the day, you add them up, we go play, keep score, see who wins. But I think Jeff Halfley's approach is right on the money. That, hey, the object is that we're going to go recruit to a great institution, coach these guys up, be tough, physical, and go win some ball games. And I just like what he's doing. I was impressed with what he did a year ago, especially the late start, the pandemic. The Jakovic announcement didn't come till late, as he pointed out. And they, you know, we talked about playing at Clemson again. I think it's been like, seems like they've been at Clemson 10 straight years in a row. Seems that way. I know it's not. But he's like, hey, we don't care. Let's go play. And, you know, they scared them half to death last year, had them on the ropes. I think if you're a BC fan,
yeah,
you got to be absolutely jazzed about what Jeff Halfley's bringing to the table. And, you know, the fact that Pat Kraft's got a football mentality, I keep saying this, you know, that chancellor, president, AD, coach, you better be on the same page. And I don't think there's any question that is the truth at Boston College based on that 15-minute interview to start the show today.
This won't be the only time we say this on this show, because I know we get into the summer and we'll start the schedule analysis in depth and start comparing, you know, teams and the way the schedule fits and all this. Important to remember about the 2021 ACC schedule that we're going back to the rotation that we would have had. So in other words, the 2020 schedule is a complete outlier because of the pandemic and we're just trying to get games in. So in the case of like BC going to Clemson, that just happened to be the way it was in 2020. The odd years is when Boston College visits Clemson in division format. So obviously they played in 19, they played in 20, and they're playing in 21.
They
so
also there played go. There in
That's
20,
just kind
though,
of the way it works.
But Wes, they also played there in 20.
I understand. The 20 schedule is the outlier. They just did that to get the game scheduled. And it just so happened BC went to Clemson.
Right.
So that in itself makes it different. Yeah. Three straight years, though, they will have gone to Clemson. Right.
Yikes.
But remember, 20 is this schedule out there that was just put together, and it just so happens you're going to have a scenario. I think Georgia Tech's going to Miami for a third straight year, by the way. I mean, therein lies kind of the way it works out.
Would you rather go to Miami 3 years in a row or Clemson 3 years in a row?
Well, Jeff Collins is 2-0, so we should have asked that question the other day because he's probably feeling a little better about it than BC is.
If you had a football team, I'm going to say, hey, you get to go to Miami for 3 in a row or Clemson 3 in a row. What would you do? Which one would you pick?
I would probably rather go to Miami at this juncture.
I think so.
Based on,
I think that's safe there answer. You go.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Tons of great guests up and above Jeff Halfley, who led things off this morning. But you know, Wes, you know, you mentioned scheduling a second ago, and we'll spend a lot of time on it in the summertime and getting ready for a football season. There also is news regarding basketball scheduling, and that is the fact that Syracuse and Villanova are going to hook up in the Jimmy V Classic, and that is an old school Big East love fest. And kind of cool to see see that group get back together again. We had Syracuse, Georgetown this past year, which is another classic old Big East teams getting after it. Of course, Cuse now an ACC member. But it kind of triggered a thought of some games and matchups you'd like to see in other sports involving ACC teams and tremendous non-conference competition.
Yeah, I think that when you start going down the list, we all realize the expansion of major college athletics has cost us in a couple of rivalries, and certainly some of those Big East basketball rivalries, like last year when Syracuse played Georgetown, and we're now talking about the Orange playing the Wildcats at Jay Wright in the Garden and the Jimmy V. But even in other sports, like BC and BU in hockey, you know, the old beanpot games, the ones they played at the old Garden, you know, the college hockey, the Battle of Com Ave, where you get with BC and Harvard sometimes. But Boston College and BU in hockey, you know, you need to see that. You need to make sure that happens. And that's just a sample size there. Here's one that we're going to get this fall. And, Pac, you've mentioned this. We don't get enough of some of the regional old backyard football rivalries, right? And the one we're going to get the first weekend of the season, Clemson, Georgia's got a lot to it. It's got a lot to it. And it's going to be an amazing environment this year. But you know the history of that series. They need to play more, right?
It's just a perfect game is what it is, because you've got neighboring states, you've got incredible fan bases, you've got tremendous football teams, you got Sunday dudes all over the place. They both think they're going to win the national championship. They're 65 miles apart. They see each other at the water cooler. Mm-hmm. I always call those water cooler games. And we don't get it every year, and it's a shame. And listen, it's hard to schedule everybody. I get it. But the fact that we're going to have the Clemson-Georgia game, and ironically starts at a neutral site about three miles down the road from where I'm sitting right now. But they're going to see each other on a pretty consistent basis in terms of neutral site, home and home, for the upcoming decade, which is great. Tip of the cap to both athletic directors who basically said, hey, let's go play. These are games fans want to see.
Right.
And the fact that you get Clemson-Georgia and the news about Governor Cooper and maybe wiping everything clean June 1 to say, hey, listen, let's go have fans and crowds again. The anticipation of that game in this town is just unbelievable. And both fan bases are salivating to go play each other, because it just feels like it's got the potential of being the best non-conference college football game of 21. Should be great. And you know what? They may be both good enough to see each other twice. And that's not a crazy thought. I'll just let that marinate a second.
No, you're right. You're exactly right. Let's pivot to basketball here for a minute. You know, one of the best games that's ever been played in the NCAA tournament history features two teams that don't see each other very much.
That's right.
And they've played occasionally, but we don't get to see Duke and Kentucky in my mind enough, Pac. I think this is one that, you know what, I think both fan bases would like it. I think it's one that, in all honesty, they need to find a way to get it scheduled up a little bit.
Well, I mean, I would just love to be in Rupp Arena if Duke comes walking through the tunnel. I mean, there's Kentucky fans.
Wow.
There's Kentucky fans that still have I hate Leitner t-shirts. I mean, that was only 30 years ago, boys, and it runs deep. And it is a brilliant, great, awesome fan base that just loves its basketball. And I'd love to see Kentucky come through the tunnel at Cameron and let the crazies have at it, right? And, I mean, it's just a game that, like you said, we just don't really see it very often. Now, you may get it on a neutral site game, but I'm talking about home and home. You know, going to Rupp, coming to Cameron,
right.
And it would be sensational. And, Wes, listen, I know this is the ACC Network, and we talk about the Atlantic Coast Conference, and the fact that we just brought up Duke-Kentucky, I think we'd all be remiss if we didn't mention thoughts and prayers go out to Terrence Clark's family, friends, and Kentucky basketball fans, because if you did not hear the story, Terrence Clark, 19 years of age, leaves early, go into the NBA, goes out to L.A., he's working out, was in a obviously tragic, tragic automobile accident yesterday and lost his life. And, you know, you just can't go at the age of 19. I mean, goodness gracious. So thoughts and prayers to everybody, Kentucky, the SEC, the Clark family, yep. from everybody here at the ACC Network. Just a horrific story from last night. Just awful, awful story.
Yeah, no question. And well said. Thanks, Pack, on that front. One of the others here we'll touch on before, a couple more, before we get to break. How about Miami and Florida in football? We got that, what, about a decade ago, maybe in change?
No, what are you talking about? No.
A couple of years ago, yeah. We did the watch party.
Yeah, you and I went up to watch John Beeson and Mark Richt lose their minds while we were eating Cheetos. And, we had that game to start the season 2 years ago. And we just don't get that game enough, in my opinion. That would be a great game for both fan bases. See the Gators and the Canes get after it. Be awesome.
Yeah, it would be, wouldn't it? I mean, that's just the kind of game I think we should have. Other sports that probably need to see a game. How about NC State, South Carolina, and women's basketball? They played a great game this year in Columbia. Obviously, Wes Moore and the Wolfpack won. But, Pack, that seems like one that maybe we should get on the calendar a little more often.
Yeah, and in fact, if you want to substitute Louisville in there too, I'm all for it. But Dawn Staley's built a great program in Columbia. And right now, NC State and Louisville have it rocking in the ACC. An amazing game in Columbia this year with the Wolfpack knocking off then number one South Carolina. Why not? I think anytime you've had NC State and South Carolina, even in football, I mean, that's an old-fashioned ACC love fest. We don't get that game enough, but normally those games have always had some kind of juice to it.
Yeah. Pittsburgh, we're coming for you on this. And I know both of these are frustrating, touchy, emotional. But you know what? We need to find a way to get Pitt and West Virginia and Pitt and Penn State to play some things. Right, Pack? Let's be honest. Pitt and West Virginia played a little bit of basketball. We need to see some football. We definitely need to see Pitt and Penn State play in football. And heck, I throw a basketball game in there too. Now you got Shrewsbury taking over for Pat Chambers at Penn State. He and Jeff Cable get together and get some stuff squared away on a contract. That seems like an easy one to get done. And we need those kinds of games, folks. That's kind of stuff coming back out of this pandemic we need to see, I think.
Well, Penn State played 100 times in football. And again, we'll talk to Heather Like later in the show, the Pitt athletic director. A contract was on the table for Penn State to sign. And they're like, hey, we're kind of busy. Call us back in a decade. I hated everything about that because those are the kind of games – for all of us that are college football junkies, that's the game you want to see. You want to see Pitt Penn State. You want to see the backyard brawl. You want to see Texas and Texas A&M. This year we're going to get Nebraska and Oklahoma. They've gone their separate ways as far as expansion and realignment. But again, I tip my hat to athletic directors that understand those are games that fans want to see. And when you hear rumors about, well, attendance is down, I have a great solution. Play games that people want to attend. It's not that hard, but it does take two. It takes two to make that happen.
The Voice of Victory just sent me a note. The Backyard Brawl, Pitt and West Virginia, next year.
No, there's some that are getting back together, and Virginia Tech, West Virginia in football. Hey, you know what? They don't like each other. They're going to play each other this year.
Yeah.
But that series got so heated that really both sides said, hey, we just need to take a break from each other in those neighbor states. So, those are games that people want to see. And like I said, you want ticket sales to go up? Here's an idea. It's pretty simple. It's called supply and demand. It's called Econ 101. Make it happen.
How about Packer and Durham live at Pitt, West Virginia in 2022? Is that too much? Is that too early an ask?
I'm in for anything. Listen, I used to do the Southern Fried Football Tour. I'll get the Winnebago.
I know you did.
I'll jump the Winnebago and get some sponsorships, and we'll roll that thing right into town on a Thursday. We'll make that thing. I can make that happen.
All right. Maybe if Carolina and Kansas play basketball, we could go there too.
Oh,
just kind of on the wish list. I'd like to see, and look, they've played in the NCAA tournament a bundle of times. I'd like to see them go to each other's building.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
I'd like to see Carolina and Kansas at Allen Fieldhouse.
I would like
to see Carolina, Kansas in the Smith Center. There you go. That's it.
It's the only
one I'd like to see.
There's just too many connections between the schools and their history and great coaches. And It's the perfect game. I mean, it really is. It's, you know, between Fog Allen and Dean Smith and Roy Williams. I mean, the list goes on and on here. There is a lineage between
Larry Brown.
There's a lineage between Lawrence, Kansas and Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And I don't need that game in Chicago. I don't need that game in Atlanta or Charlotte. That game needs to be in Lawrence at the Rock Chalk Jayhawk KU and rolling into the Smith Center. With everybody rocking and rolling, that is a series that college basketball would salivate over. I mean, that is the game, man. North Carolina and Kansas, home and home. Right. Perfecto.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Friday morning here on ACC Network. Many thanks to Jeff Hafley, who joined us early. If you missed it, you got to get up early with us. Catch it on the replay, about 10:02 a.m.
That's right. And we had Jeff Collins on with us the other day, Pack. And we started our visit with the head coach of the Jackets by saying, hey, look, you got that swag on today. Tell us what's going on with the whole new getup you're wearing.
Always something new. So in this day and age of name, image, and likeness, we got a little – all the players on the team call me GC5. So we've made a little GC5 logo. And then right here, this is just a little soccer-inspired Atlanta United, Georgia Tech. We've got the four national championship stars above the crest for the 404 Georgia Institute of Technology. So just trying to represent the brand, represent the city, represent the culture.
I love it.
All right, so I want to. We're going to go a little off track here at the top. I've been wanting to ask you about name, image, and likeness since this became a thing, and I knew you were coming on the show. Of all the guys who are probably more geared and prepared for name, image, and likeness, I can't think of anybody that has been thinking about this longer than maybe you have. So now that this has become a thing, what's the first thing in your mind about what NIL could mean to any program in the country, but especially yours?
Yeah, well, the biggest thing is just the student-athlete experience, making sure that all student-athletes across college football are well-positioned for life after the game. We think being here in the city of Atlanta, all the exposure that we have nationally with our brand, with being in the city, the culture, the music, the movie, the fashion that is in and around the city, and the way we promote our brand, the way we promote our players' brand, even from when I was the head football coach at Temple, you know, we were the first school to put social media names on the back of our players' jerseys during our second year spring game, and that was a big deal. We were the first school to have a brand manager in our program. We did that at Temple. We carried it over here to Georgia Tech. We have a content team that we consider the best in college football. We do so many different mechanisms to promote our players, to give them their own content so that they can build their brand on social media. There's so many different things that we do, and it's in our DNA. We're not having to force anything now that this new rule is about to come to pass. It is who we are. It's what we're about. It's what we believe in. Building our players' brands, the student-athlete experience, life after football at one of the top four academic schools in the country. It's a special time and a special place, and we're just excited to help our guys, help our players in this space.
All right, speaking of brand, how about Friday Night Football under the lights right there in the ATL? We're going to get some this week. I can't wait to watch you guys play. Wes will be there with the call and so forth. So what can we expect with the Jackets? I know it's not going to be, you know, crazy stuff because spring games are spring games. Sure. But for fans that got their feet up on a Friday night looking for some football, what are we going to see?
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. We've got a lot of returning production. I think we've got the top two production in the league, top 13, top 10 in the country returning production. We had the eighth-ranked recruiting class re-ranked by Bleacher Report that played at a high level for us last season. They're all returning. The culture, all of those things. We've had a really good spring, a really good offseason with our head strength coach, Lou Corrala. We brought in 13 newcomers in January. They've made a tremendous impact in this program, and they're going to get to see a lot of time tomorrow night and or Friday night. Just really excited about that piece. It is going to be an offense versus defense kind of deal. Offense will be on the home sideline wearing the white unis, gold, white, gold. The defense is going to be on the visiting sideline wearing gold, blue, blue. So it's going to be an exciting time. Quarterbacks are in the color rush. Gold, gold, gold. But Friday night, under the lights, downtown Atlanta. A lot of places do the Saturday afternoon thing, man. Saturday morning thing, but I just think the best venue in college sports is downtown Atlanta, 404, under the lights. There's not a better setting. Wesley Durham, Roddy Jones making the call. It's going to be huge.
Yeah.
I feel like I just saw a WWE promo. Something that we're going gold, 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 blue. So what's Coach wearing? I mean, you give me every combination. So what are you wearing Friday?
So I've got a plan.
It's going to be that.
Really good. We know you got a plan.
I've got some custom GC5 kicks that are going to be sported Friday night. Oh. We'll reveal them at some point during the day. The coaches. I've micromanaged the coaches' outfit, so they'll be wearing the same top. They'll be wearing the same shorts, but they get to go freelance on the three-stripe life kicks that they get to wear. So we're looking for some flavor on that front as well.
There's been some good mojo in the ATL in 21. I mean, I got the Pastner mask back here. He just won an ACC championship. You know, Nell did an incredible job with the ladies. The volleyball team's been rocking and rolling. Baseball's been really good. It always is. You get a sense that you can feel. Again, you've always been a positive ball of enthusiasm. You just come in the room and, hey, let's go, boys. But it just does feel like there's a lot of good stuff happening in the ATL with Georgia Tech.
Yeah, absolutely. And a credit to Todd Stansberry and our whole athletic department, the vision, the direction, the support that we have across all levels in all sports. We had our women's basketball team out to practice yesterday, and they were awesome. They got to be there for 7-on-7. We had the Fatheads rushing the quarterback during 7-on-7. We had team blitz, and the music is blaring. And then at the end, Nell Fortner, she is amazing. She went to our 404 GoPro camera setup that we have, and she danced with Wanye and got some good stuff that I'm sure she'll share on social media. But just positive, energetic, seeing big things for our program and our future across all levels and all sports. It's an exciting time to be here at Georgia Tech.
You guys need to have more fun. Y'all need to start having some fun. Yeah, the problem I worry about you guys down there in Atlanta is that everybody's just kind of walking around like a robot, no smiles. You guys need to loosen up a little bit down there in Atlanta. Just a little bit.
I'm with you, Pat.
He is a blast, dude. He is just – it's party time. Let's go. But, I mean, listen, I'm looking forward to watching you, Roddy, and the boys tonight in Georgia Tech football. And, again, if you're a college football junkie and you're like, man, I got to have it. Yeah, our network's the spot to be tonight and then three tomorrow right here on ACC Network.
Apparently there are fathead pass rushers tonight as well in some of the drills that he was talking about earlier. We'll reveal some of those candidates for that later. Also, not telling tales out of school tonight, but I think Josh Pastner and Nell Fortner both make an appearance tonight, the spring game too.
Why not? I mean, you know, as I said to Coach yesterday, there is a really positive vibe in Atlanta about the Jackets right now. Basketball had a great year.
Yeah.
What Coach is doing as far as a recruiting perspective, changing the foundation of the great run that Coach Johnson had and the way they played football, and now making it into, hey, we're going to be a little bit more diverse throwing the football downfield. And again, offensively, there's some weapons there that we've already talked about. That Georgia Tech's got a great future from that perspective. A lot of guys back on the defensive side that has to get better if Georgia Tech wants to get to where they want to go. And to me, again, just as an observer, watching you guys tonight on television, I kind of want to see what they look like defensively. Are they hitting? Are they tackling people? Because that was a problem last year. When you're giving up 37 a game, you know, you can't just say, hey, we're just going to show up and Big 12, and first to 50 wins. Even though, no disrespect, the Big 12 started to play really good defense last year. That's what Georgia Tech needs to do this year.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.